Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we talk to a big Dead fan who's into computers. Welcome, Mr. Gates.
Wow, Bill Gates is on our show?
It's actually my friend Rob. Oh. Hey, Patrick. How's it going?
I'm good, Jim. How are you? I have a little bit of a summer cold, but I'm getting over it.
You do. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I get one every summer.
You know, these things can turn, you know, serious for a man of your age.
That's right. Yeah. I might have to be hospitalized tomorrow.
You never know.
Yeah.
You might need a blood transfusion.
Or more beer.
A beer transfusion.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Maybe low.
All right. So, Patrick, this is exciting. We're actually recording this episode on the 4th of July.
Yes, we are. Happy birthday,
and
America.
So, what a better way to celebrate the 4th of July than to talk about a classic American band, right?
One of the greatest American bands of all time.
Right.
Most influential and important, in my opinion.
And sort of embodies a lot of sort of the spirit of America, I think, in some ways.
That's right.
Right?
We're not talking about Fugazi.
They qualify, too. But we are talking about what?
The Grateful Dead.
Yeah, kind of the polar opposite of Fugazi.
Yeah. In many ways.
Yeah. And with us here on Rock in the Suburbs, by the way, I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Is our friend Rob Gates. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for coming.
So we wanted Rob to come over not only just to enjoy the 4th of July and all the, you know, cookout festivities, but also he just went and saw the current incarnation of the Dead, which is called Dead and Company.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to talk a little bit about that show and sort of his fandom, right? And have you seen the Grateful Dead before, Patrick?
I have.
I think we talked about this before.
Yes, I've seen the Grateful Dead several times. I have not seen the Dead and Company shows, and we'll definitely get Rob's insight on how that phenomenon really has sort of grown the past two summers, I think, right? Rob have been pretty good for that particular incarnation of the band.
Absolutely, Patrick. This is probably, and I've seen every incarnation of the Grateful Dead, the Dead, the other ones, Further, all that stuff, and this is by far the greatest version of the band, of course, since the passing of Jerry.
Yep.
But in terms of, you know, being true to the music, and people talk a lot about that, but also true to the improvisation, which is such a huge part of the Dead, and they put together some great lineups, you know, with Warren Haynes and others over the past. But, you know, John Mayer seems to bring, you know, sort of that thing.
He does.
And also O'Teal, you know, they bring that thing that's sort of been missing a little bit since Jerry left.
So obviously Bill is playing drums and Mickey Hart's playing drums in the Dead and Company, right?
Right.
And then there's John Mayer. And there's obviously Bobby. So, and who else do we have playing in this incarnation?
O'Teal Burbridge,
uh-huh.
Who plays bass. And then a guy who's probably one of the most important, probably the second most important member of this band and seldom mentioned, Jeff Chimenti, on keyboards. And Jeff has a long history of playing with the various incarnations of the Dead and also playing with Bobby prior to Dead and Company. And Jeff really, you know, he brings that keyboard sort of what I like to call modesty and understands how the keyboard player of this band should, for lack of a better term, behave.
Uh-huh.
You know, he showcases himself when he needs to. And he did that the night of this show. And then he's sort of in the background most of the time, but is sort of the glue, you know, that can hold the music together.
Right.
If it starts to get away.
Okay.
So let's get into the show in just a little bit. But first, Rob, tell us about your Grateful Dead background.
Yeah.
Like, when did you become a fan? How did you become a fan? You know, all of that.
So I became a Grateful Dead fan my freshman year in college when the guys on my floor said, you got to listen to this band. I'd actually, ironically, I was actually a Grateful Dead fan, not in the traditional sense, but a fan of the music way back in eighth grade when a buddy of mine back in Massachusetts used to ride our bikes around town with a big boom box, and we used to have Skeletons in the Closet was the tape in the boom box. So we used to ride around town, you know, singing Truckin' and belting out the lyrics and whatnot.
Cool.
But I had never seen the band live. until 1986, okay. Cumberland County Civic Center up in Portland, Maine. And that, you know, as they say, it's a live band. And that was sort of like the ins, like, wow, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are awesome. And, you know, you sort of get it or you don't. My wife has never been a fan of the Grateful Dead and finds the music somewhat revolting. So my first show was in 1986, and I saw them all through the late 80s and early 90s.
Fantastic.
Like about how many times would you say?
Probably about 50 wow. plus times.
Yeah.
Which actually is not a lot.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot to me. I think the most I've seen any one band is, I don't even think I've seen a single band 10 times. Like maybe like 7 or 8 is yeah. probably the most I've ever seen any one single band. Yeah.
You know, it's so generational too, because I used to talk to older deadheads who had seen Keith Godshow and Donna
oh, wow.
play, and I used to say like, "Wow, you guys like saw Keith and Donna yeah. live." And then later on, I'd have people who would come up to me and say, "Wow, you saw Brent live!"
Right?
I'm like, well, I, you know, don't know if I cheer about that, but you know. And then sadly, you know, it would be, "Oh, wow, you like you saw Jerry."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's right. I saw Jerry.
Yeah, you get that generation.
Yeah, so.
Let's talk a little bit about, you just saw Dead & Company
yep.
at the unfortunately named Jiffy Lube Live.
That is unfortunate.
And how awful is that?
Yeah, here in terrible. Here in Northern Virginia, at amphitheater, outdoors, right? So nice yes, summer show. Yep. And so what was the show like?
You know, let me preface my Dead experience by saying that I don't do drugs. So I've never gone to a show high per se, although I've been drunk at plenty of shows. So, you know, there is that. Lots of beer.
And Rob brought us some lovely beer for this recording,
yes, he did.
Right?
What
do
I
we
did.
What do we have?
Well, we brought some Deschutes Pacific Wonderland, which is a new lager from nice. The Deschutes Brewing Company.
Their beer is right Wonderland.
Now. That's great.
And so. And I think I could pick up 12 of those for the price of a Coors Light at the Jiffy Lube. But,
well, that's probably about right. Yeah.
We digress.
Did you have a John Mayer problem, you know, when you knew he was going to be playing with this group? I mean, did you have a preconception of John Mayer and say, there's no way like Katy Perry's ex-boyfriend and your body is a Wonderland guy is going to be any good?
The guy wants to run through the halls of his high school.
That's right. Like, how could he be any good?
No, I really didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say this. I was sort of like, well, what's wrong with Trey?
That's a good point.
He was
man.
Really good. Why are yeah. we?
He played at the this? Fairly well.
So, he played the guitar.
Very
the
good
well.
Point. Yeah.
But you know, then you think about it. You're like, well, if Bobby's cool with this. You know, Bobby
yep.
sees something. And you know, they met. You know how they met? They met on David Letterman.
Yeah, that's right.
And Bobby sees something in this guy,
yeah.
and Bobby's always been true to the music as far as the Grateful Dead's concerned. Some of his other side projects we won't discuss.
Right, we don't have to go into those.
So if he sees something in him,
yeah.
and I started hearing the early reports, you know, where people were saying, like, this guy is it. Like there's been no one better since Jerry.
Yeah.
And they've been, they've gone through, you know, Mark Caron and you know, Warren Haynes
yes.
and John, I can never pronounce his last name correctly, from Dark Star Orchestra.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were saying, you know, this is the guy. And, you know, they talked about the Fairly Well show. And one of the questions about the Fairly Well was, why do you have Trey? You know, why don't you have John? I think it's begins with a K. I can't.
Yeah. From Dark Star,
From Dark Star, yeah. who played with, I think it was just The Dead.
Yes, I think that's right.
And I had seen that, and he was solid. I mean, he knew all the parts. And
obviously,
he sounded
does.
Very,
yeah.
And Bobby's comment on that was, you know, we needed someone who could improvise more on stage. And Trey, you know, they felt Trey could do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trey did a really good job. Now, I've never been a particularly big Fish fan. I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in hearing Trey, I thought, you know, Trey at Fairly Well was really good.
Yeah.
And then I heard John Mayer, and it was like, Trey who?
Interesting. Yeah. And apparently, you know, John Mayer caught the bug. Like, he, you know, took it upon himself to, like, close himself into his place and just learn these things until he felt like he had it where he could actually express himself through these songs.
Like,
and
this is what he wants to do, right?
It's quite amazing. And I don't know what you think, Rob, but I think it's, I find it really interesting that he doesn't change the John Mayer look when he's like playing with that. I mean, he's wearing like the tight black pants and like the skinny black t-shirt and his like funky Nikes, you know, they're probably like $150 Nikes and his little gold chains. And he's still very John Mayer.
That sort of,
you know,
foppy hair.
But exactly. He's got the beautiful hair that I would kill for, you know, and he looks fantastic. He's a good looking man, but he's so out of place with kind of everybody else, but he doesn't, you know, that doesn't disqualify him in any way. And I think that's a great accepting thing for the fans.
Although I will say this, and we're not going to really get too much into this in this episode. My wife Katie and I, we just watched the documentary that's on Amazon right now called Long Strange Trip.
Yep.
And one of the things, you guys know this already, but one of the things I was kind of struck by was when you see Bob Weir, especially like sort of the 80s Bob Weir, and he's like always wearing like a polo shirt.
Yeah.
And
he looked a little different.
He looks kind of like a preppy guy up there, you know, especially compared to the rest of the
That's right. Especially wore shorts a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially compared to the rest of the band. So it's not like there isn't already, you know, sort of this feeling that you can just be what you want to be, I think, in this band, right?
Very good point. Yep.
Well, the thing to remember, and, you know, is that if you're going to these shows looking for Jerry, Jerry is not there. Jerry is gone. He's gone. You know, John brings a different element to the band. So there are purists, and I know several, are like, nope, not going to see him. Jerry's not there, not going to see him. The band ended the day Jerry died. It's like, well, okay, but the music continues.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not the same. Okay. But if you go in with more of an open mind and see what John and O'Teal and Jeff, you know, bring to the music, you know, the music lives on and the music evolves, and the Grateful Dead has always evolved. I mean, if you look at the Grateful Dead back in 1967 versus, you know, an album like Shakedown Street, I mean, you know, Disco Dead, and even In the Dark.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah. Where they had a hit single.
Where they had a hit single. You know, the band has always evolved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry evolved.
It's a good point.
You know, you need to go into it with an open mind, which is why I've always seen every variation of it. I just like the music.
Yeah.
You know, if I can go there, sing along, and annoy the people in front of me, that's...
the Count Basie Orchestra went on for years and years after Count Basie died,
this is
right?
True.
You know, they're great players, and they carried on the legacy, right?
So good point.
That's the way it works, or, you know, hopefully should work in some ways, right? The music lives on.
And I think the Jerry Garcia Band actually went on a couple of years after,
that's right,
after Jerry died.
And this band, Rob, has been playing together for two summers now. Is that right? This is sort of the second full summer tour they've done together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And did you see them last summer?
I did.
And how, just quickly, how would that compare to what you saw this summer? Do you feel like they're getting stronger and more intuitive as a group overall?
I think overall, yes. I think the show that I saw last summer just happened to be better.
A little bit better. Okay.
You know, they played, you know, if I had to write out my perfect set list, that was it. I saw them in Cincinnati. You know, the one thing I noticed was John Mayer had this enormous watch on, and I just couldn't, the whole show I'm thinking, why is this guy, what is with this watch? And I guess he's a big watch aficionado.
Oh, okay. Really? Gotta buy something with all that money.
Yeah. but he had this huge wristwatch on. And
that's great.
Couldn't figure it out, but the band, is definitely getting better. And again, they continue to evolve. You have now O'Teal taking over some vocal duties. You know, Bobby's starting to get a little hoarse at the end of the shows.
Yeah.
So I think it's good if he, you know, the interesting thing about the Jiffy Lube show is he basically sang the entire second set. If you look at the set list, the only thing O'Teal sang Fire, and John sang he's gone. Him and Bobby traded licks, but otherwise,
that sounds
good. You know, it was pretty much Bobby the whole second set. And I don't know if that was planned or not, or if they changed it around a little bit.
Some folks trust reason, others trust to lie. I don't trust nothing, but know it come all right. Say it once again now. Well, I hope you understand. When it's done or over, but man is just a man. Playing, playing the band. Daybreak, daybreak on the land.
The tour ended, I guess, July 1st. So,
yeah, so sort of unusual for a summer tour. That's certainly an early ending for a traditional Death summer tour, because I'd seen them on July 4th, Foxborough Stadium, which was during the Dylan and the Dead tour, which was Patrick and I agreed before the podcast that was horrible.
It was pretty awful.
And we don't want to revisit it.
No.
And I'd also seen them July 2nd, 2 years later, at Sullivan Stadium or Foxborough Stadium, whatever they call it these days. And it was great. It was one of the best shows that I had ever seen, and arguably in the books by many standards. People say it was a fantastic show. But, you know, the tour ended in Chicago.
Yep.
And John Mayer tweeted out just this morning, to anyone feeling the post DNC or D and Co tour blues, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself either. The other interesting part of that was he got responses on Twitter that said, dude, like, you have a whole solo career.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Right, exactly. But it sort of goes to how much he's, you know, part of this now and how much...
He's all in.
Yeah,
that's very cool. Yeah.
That's great. Okay.
Well, I'll take his work with the Dead over his solo work any day of the week, so...
Okay. Well, thank you, Rob. Yeah. This has really been a delight.
It's been fantastic, man.
So...
My pleasure.
And you're going to come back and tell more stories of the Dead. Yeah. We've already decided.
Sounds like he's got some fantastic
good stuff from back in the day. So let's save those.
Yeah.
That'll be some good material for later on.
For later, folks.
But it's good stuff. Yeah. Okay. All right. So please listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
Every day. The rest of this week, we have our friend Ryan Scholin.
Can't wait for that. It's going to be fun.
On talking about a number of different topics.
Yeah.
Really have very little to do with the Grateful Dead.
He's going to sleep in the basement.
Yes.
Ryan is a Deadhead, by the way.
I think we touched on it a little bit, right?
We did.
So you're saying it was already recorded?
It may have been. Okay. We might be.
Yes.
Yeah. I may have slipped up.
That's all right.
Don't look at the man behind the curtain.
That's right. All right. And the way you can listen to Rock in the Suburbs is you can go to things like Apple Podcasts or Audio Boom or Stitcher or TuneIn, and you can find it there. Please subscribe to the show.
Please
rate and review the show.
Do that.
These things are very important. It gives us good vibes.
Mm-hmm.
We
need vibes. Karma.
That's right. It's really important. It's what do they call that when you go to the Dead shows, right? It's all...
Feng Shui?
No. There's like a whole trading community that happened there, right? Where they're all like sort of helping each other out.
Yeah.
Right?
Always.
That's what this show is like.
It is. Yeah, we're a community here.
That's right. And then you can also visit our website, which is suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also email us, rock@suburbspod.com. And you can find us on social media @suburbspod. And then lastly, you can call, which is what we really like.
Yeah.
We save that for last because we want to emphasize this. Call the Suburban Party line. Tell us your memories of the Grateful Dead or if you've been to see Dead & Company lately.
Yeah, that would be great too.
Any of this.
Past 2 years.
Call, leave a message. We'll put you on the show.
Yes, we will.
That is the Suburban Party line. It is 612-440-1984. Do that. All right. And with that, thanks again, Rob. We'll have you on again.
Rob.
I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I suppose we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, we could go on forever.